Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world? This is your man Nick Eaton, and I am here with the talk of the town.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Here's the talk of the town.
We take you to the Hotel Martinet in Brooklyn, where Bobby Millett and his orchestra are offering a program of dance music.
Town.
The Middleman Talk Show on blogtalkradio.com, and I'm your host, Al T. Harris. I'm up here sitting in the studio, chilling by myself tonight. I don't know where Kev's there. He should be coming in just a second. Nick is out today, so I'm holding it down for Nick Eaton today on the show. So we're going to try to do it big and do it great, just like we always do. Hope everybody's having a great week. I know we are. Been a busy week. Next thing I know, man, you know, it's going to be the weekend. I'm excited for myself because Mississippi State Homecoming, which is my alma mater, and I plan on having a good time. I don't know about y'all, but I plan on having a good time this weekend. Hope everybody is doing the same. Looking forward to the Alabama and LSU game. Looking forward to watching that at somebody's house, on somebody's big screen down in Starkville, Mississippi. So I don't know who I'm going to go for, but I've been saying LSU because I really despise and I don't like Alabama. So I'm going for LSU. I'm pulling for LSU to beat down Alabama. But I know it's going to be a great game this weekend. Pretty much ESPN has been talking about this game all week. My coworkers have been talking about this game all week. So it's going to be live down in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, man. It's people already there camping out, ready. Fans, parents, you know, all that. They ready for the game. So one of the biggest games of the year of 2010. Looking for another SEC team to take on the BCS championship again this year. Just got through watching Audible on ESPN and Keyshawn Johnson hating because, you know, SEC, we've been winning, you know what I'm saying? We've been in the BCS running every year for the last 5 to 6 years and for the last, I think, last five seasons, I think we won them. So he's a hater, but it's all good. You know, he's a Pac-10 player himself, but it's all good over here. And we're going to go ahead and get into today's show. We're going to do a replay of today. What's up, man?
What's happening, man?
Yeah, we
did you just call me Big Kev?
I did not. I said I see Kev is here. I see Big Kev.
Oh, I had a gin moment.
Here we go. Anyway, yeah, they were talking about your Dolphins too, man.
It's all right. I don't care. Yeah. We're going to lose every game this year just to get that doggone boy from Stanford.
I don't know, man. We're going to lose every game this year. And Peyton better sit down for someone when you want to come back and play the last couple games. Man, sit down, man, and get right. Wait till next year, man. It ain't need to salvage the year.
Ain't need to be working with Painter. He sucks.
Right. Because when Peyton leaves, we need to find somebody to replace. Real talk. Real talk.
So what we got, man? What we got? Huh?
I mean, anything on your mind today?
No, not really. You know what I'm saying, man? I see that we were going to do a replay of a previous show, man. One of my favorite previous shows was the Old Grind versus the New Grind. I like that show.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Pretty good show.
Most definitely.
If you ain't heard it, go back and listen to it.
Yeah. Yeah. See where you fit in at versus on that topic. You know, Old Grind versus New Grind. What type of grind would you describe your current situation? You know, see what type of tactic that you use or are using currently to see where you are. Are you using the old grinding method or the new grinding method?
I would love to see people, you know, listen to that show. Email us at wearethemiddlemen@gmail.com. Let us know what you think about that show. Put in the title, Old Grind versus New Grind. Give us your thought. We would love to hear from you. We can read some of those emails over the air and give you a shout out.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
I want to tell everybody that's doing our Facebook group, but Facebook sucks.
Yeah, we've been having our, you know, issues with Facebook for the past month or so. So, shout out to Zach Zuckerberg, whatever his name is. Zuckerberg? I don't know. The white guy. Shout out to him.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I'm excited for this weekend, man. That's all I can say. I can't stress that enough, man. I cannot.
Thank God to see another day. That's what I can say.
So, all right, go ahead and get into it.
Okay.
All right. It's replay. Kev, Chill, I'm chilling. We're here, the Middleman Talk Show, talking to town without Nick Eaton today.
Talk Radio.
What's up, world? This is your man, Nick Eaton, and I am here with the talk of the town.
I know you're going to dig this.
Here with the talk of the town.
We take you to the hometown Martinet in Brooklyn, where Bobby Millett and his orchestra are offering a program of dance music.
Talk of the town. Here with the talk of the town.
Good evening.
Here with the talk of the town.
Present Talk of the Town with Nick Eaton. I am your host, Nick Eaton. I got my man Al with me.
No, you don't.
I think he's asleep. Alright.
No.
Okay. And I got Kev back there with some chicken feet.
This is me and you, man.
Oh, okay.
We like, what's
the name? I thought it was your Skype tonight.
Just me and you. That right there, Al.
Don't do that, Mama.
I know, man. It sounded real bad, though. But, you know.
Yeah, that was horrible. What you got to do tonight, man?
I'm not a singer.
Oh, well, we know that.
I'm not a singer, man.
What's going on over in that bowl?
What I got in the cup, man, some water. H2 Eagle.
I guess you took... Dr. Reed's advice.
8 glasses a day.
Wow. I'm telling you.
I enjoy that show, man.
If you guys missed this past Sunday, we had a great show. I'm talking about this was a great, informative show. I think everybody walked away from the show just a little bit smarter. We talked about nutrition. Are you what you eat? We had someone come in and talk, Dr. Jamie Reed, who is actually a longtime listener of the Middleman Talk Show and Talk of the Town with Nick Eaton. And he came in, and when I tell you, he dropped some knowledge on us just about things that we eat and that we put in our bodies on a daily basis that we thought were okay for us, but they're not really that all right. It's a little crazy. So,
yes, sir.
If you, you know, if you get a chance, man, definitely go back, check the archives, and check that one out. Check that one out. This week has been one of those weeks in entertainment. I think a lot of people have started to, I don't know, I guess they're feeling themselves. I don't know if it's because they're getting around to the holidays, you know, people letting a lot of stuff out, you know, a lot of stuff they weren't supposed to let out. Prime example, earlier this week, rapper Common, he revealed to the world pretty much how Erykah Badu broke up with him years ago. Now, if you remember, you know, if we all know Erykah Badu, whatever she does to rappers, yeah, I don't know, it completely changes them. But he was on an interview with Wendy Williams, and he talked about how Erykah broke up with him over the phone. She said he was at his hotel, he was on tour, and she called him, and she was like, hey, I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. I'm liking somebody else. And then that was just it.
But, Nick, don't that sound so juvenile? We don't go together no more. I know she's hood. But, dang.
That's that Dallas in her, man. I'm just
over the phone?
Over the phone.
Huh. I wouldn't have told nobody that, but...
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't have told anybody that. Like, I mean, especially, honestly, after all this time, yeah, I would have just kept that to myself.
Yes, sir.
I wouldn't have let nobody know.
Hey, but I'm going to tell you something. Have you seen that window seat video now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would have been upset, too. Yeah, I would have been very upset. Like you said, I don't know what she's doing to these cats, man. She got that voodoo.
Well, speaking of people that just, you know what, I'm actually glad that he actually said something. This actually just happened this morning. R. Kelly was on radio at WGCI, the Morning Riot in Chicago, and he had a little bit of something to say about Trey Songz. Now, you know, for the last couple of years, Trey Songz has really been he's been throwing jabs at R. Kelly, you know, recording diss songs at him and saying how R. Kelly is washed up and this and that, and, you know, he's this now, he's that now, and you know, for the most part, R. Kelly kind of kept quiet. He didn't say anything until this morning. And he said, you know, I know that Trey Songz has the potential if he keeps it with the hits, but he just needs to humble himself a little bit more. And, you know, if he does, then he'll definitely be one of the runners-up. You know, he ain't say it, you know, and then they asked him about some of the past attacks, and R. Kelly went on to say, you know, he's pretty numb to it, you know. He was like, I'm bulletproof when it comes to beef. I don't deal with beef. I eat steak. So, you know, it's just, you know, my thing is, Trey Songz, he got to get to the level of his first album. Get to the level of R. Kelly's first album before you start throwing jazz. That's what I don't like about this new generation of singers. They get a couple songs on 106 and Parker, and they swear up and down they are just a new thing. You have no idea. R. Kelly has, off of his first album, outsold collectively all the male R&B singers that are out right now. Yeah. But anyway, on the sales front, another decent week. Lil Wayne is back at number one with his new album, The Carter 4000. He sold 206,000 copies. It's down 79% from his 965 the week before. But, you know, it's still doing pretty good. Adele, she is staying in the top. She's number two this week with 119,000 sold. This is taking her well over 3 million sold for her new album, 21, here in the U.S. Let's see. Jay-Z and Kanye West, they're coming in at number six with their album, Watch the Throne, with 48,000. And rounding out the top 10 once again is Beyonce with her new album, 4, at 24,000. She's just over maybe 1.5 mil. So she's doing pretty well, especially considering, you know, she's about to take another break, you know, because of her pregnancy and everything. But, you know, other than that, entertainment, speaking of Jay-Z and Beyonce, So, now they've been saying for years that Jay-Z had a secret love child. And they've got, at this point, the young man who they're claiming is his child is 9 years old. Apparently, the man who thought he was the child's father has come forth and he said that this is my baby. Mama got paid $1 million to keep it on a hush, plus she gets child support. You know, this is not my baby. I don't claim any responsibility to this baby. And this is Jay-Z's child. Now, of course, Jay-Z's camp has denied everything about it, and they're pretty much keeping on the hush about it, but hey, you never know. I mean, the kid looks just like him. I actually posted a picture up on the Middleman Facebook page, but I don't know. What you think about that, Kev?
Yeah, it probably is, baby, man. He probably did it for a PR move. Really just to save face to show that he's not a deadbeat dad. You know, just try to keep his little momentum going back in the day. Because he was pretty hot. And I can see him paying the money, but I haven't seen a picture of the child. Once we see the picture of the child, if he got his nose or his lips, then, yeah, we know that's his baby.
Oh, yeah, I can tell you definitely. The kid looks like Jay-Z, which is not the best thing I've heard, but...
Well, I hope Beyonce can make a better looking baby. Hopefully they don't have a girl.
Yeah, hopefully the child looks well. No. This, because it's not gonna matter. If they have a girl and the girl looks like Jay-Z, it's gonna be horrible. I'm just saying, it's gonna be quite devastating.
Yeah. No plastic surgery can help that.
I'm just saying, I never take anything away from what Jay-Z has done, but he's certainly not the picture of attractiveness. I'm just saying. Anyway, I don't want him to shut down the Middleman Talk Show, so we're going to get off of that.
Man, I wish he would.
I knew Kim was going to say something.
Don't deal with Camel.
I'm going to leave that alone. Like I said, what we're actually going to do is we're going to go into our first break of the day, and when we get back, we're going right into our topic. Today's topic is 2013, the death of the major label. Some of you are asking what that means, and we're going to explain that in just a second. But for right now, we're going to go into our first song of the day, and this is with an artist that we just spoke with last week, Michael Ayers. This is Michael Ayers with Someone Else's Girl. You're listening to The Middleman Present, Talk of the Town, Nick Eaton.
My collarbone.
that was Michael Ayers with someone else's girl. Man, one thing y'all can't deny, man, that brother can sing.
Oh yeah, he's dope.
You know who? You know who he reminds me of? Remember Tony Terry?
Oh yeah. He actually
doesn't he remind you of Tony Terry just a little bit?
I'm gonna tell you, he got a better voice than Tony Terry, to be honest with you.
Oh yeah, much better voice. But it does put you in the mind of him.
Yes, he do.
If you guys are just joining us, this is the Middleman Presents Talk of the Town with Nick Eden. Today we are talking about the death of the major label, 2013. Now, we always say, oh, 2012, that's the end of the world. Well, I don't know about that. Because the Bible that I read says that no man knows the hour of the day. But anyway, 2013, why is that the death of the major label? Well, if you take a look at that description, it says very clearly, Lava Lamps, Happy Days, Mood Rings, MASH, and Jimmy Carter's Playboy interview weren't the only thing to come out of the 70s. In addition, copyright laws revised by the U.S. government granting artists and songwriters termination rights. The law states that 35 years after 1978, the recordings and songs owned by record labels or publishers will revert back to the artist or songwriter regardless of if the artist or songwriter was recouped, unrecouped, or whatever. What does this mean for major recording companies? How will this affect the families of the deceased artists and songwriters? And how will this benefit emerging artists? Now, let me break this down for you, exactly what this means. And what you want to know what's so crazy about this? Kevin, I had a couple people that I wanted to come in and talk about this topic today.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a lot of yeses. I got a lot of yeses. We were going to have an action-packed show.
Okay.
At the last minute, every last one of them just mysteriously pulled out.
Why?
Well, one person did go, you know, anonymous. An attorney based in Atlanta works for a very prestigious firm. And basically what I was told was that because of the fact that the RIAA, for those of you who do not know, that is the Recording Industry Association of America, because of the RIAA's being adamant about this copyright law not hitting in 2013 like it was originally planned, they are severely cracking down on a lot of music industry professionals. And we all know that this is a business that's based on relationships. And they're cracking down on a lot of them. And there are a lot of people that just flat out do not want to speak about this copyright law. Let me break down what this means for all of you aspiring artists out there, for you songwriters. And if any of you have any questions, definitely give us a call at 718-508-9972. If you're already on the line, you hit that number 1. If you're on Skype, you go ahead and hit that button, and it'll bring you right, and we'll bring you right in. What this means is that any song from 1978 and back, basically the labels had 35 years to do with whatever they needed to do with these songs. 35 years after 1978 is 2013, which means in 2013, all those songs, the ownership of those songs are going to go back to the songwriters who originally wrote the songs. Now, this means a lot of great stuff for those songwriters, because as we know, there were a lot of songwriters that got kind of screwed over. You know, people messed out of their publishing, but all that is not going to matter after 2013. And the crazy thing about that is, every year after 2013, another batch of songs is going to go back to its original owners. Now, we all know that major labels, right now, they're not making that much money off of new recordings. They're not. And don't let anybody fool you and say they're not making any money at all. But in comparison to what they were making in the 90s, 80s, and 70s, they're not making anywhere near. What they are doing is they're putting out a lot of catalog releases, i.e., you're ever at home, you're watching TV late at night, and you get that, oh, the best of Motown, the best of Stax, the best of Marvin Gaye, the best of the Miracles. You know, we see those old, you know, we see the Body and Soul compilations, the very popular, now that's what I call music series. These are all considered catalog releases. These are recordings that the labels already own. They just repackage them, reorganize the track listing, and they put it out there. Run a couple of commercials, and people, for nostalgic reasons, they go and they buy these CDs over and over and over again. This is how the Labels have been staying afloat. After 2013, they will not be able to just freely use those songs like that. After 2013, they are going to have to license the songs from the songwriters. Now, let's put this into more layman's terms. Kev, let's say that you wrote a song in 1965, and no, y'all, Kevin is not that old.
Okay.
But let's say you wrote a song in 1965. Mm-hmm. You took it to a label. They say, you know what, Kevin, we like your song. We're going to put your single out, and we're going to have you all over the place. They gave you a bad deal. They got control of your publishing, just everything, just everything.
Okay.
They just gave you a boot. And then on top of that, they say, well, it didn't sell like we wanted to, so you still owe us money. We haven't recouped the money that we spent on you.
Right.
So now here comes 2013, and Kevin's family is saying, well, hey, we are in control of his estate. The song now reverts back to us. So you can't use this anymore. If you want to use this song again, regardless of whether you recoup on what you need to get from him, the song now belongs to us. You're going to have to pay us a licensing fee in order to use the song for your now that's what I call music and this and that. And this is essentially what's going to kill the major. Now, am I saying that major labels are going to be completely dead? No. What I'm saying is that the system that major labels use today is going to be completely obsolete once this occurs because they can't rely on those classic catalog recordings anymore. What do you think about this, guys? Let me know.
Man, you know what? It's going to be a lot of families that's going to be very well off, and I hope that they got the estate right. I mean, that's the major thing. If they have total control or total power of attorney over that estate, man, it's some people that's going to be broke off like crazy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because the labels know that they have to make these catalog releases. They cannot lose this. It's too much money for them. There's no way they can get rid of these catalog releases. So I got to thinking about it when it was actually brought to my attention by a guy by the name of Jeff Price, which is a co-owner of TuneCore. Many of you guys out there who are independent artists know that TuneCore is the company that can, they basically license out their distribution system with iTunes, Amazon, and many. Basically, if you want to get to iTunes, Amazon, get your music out there with digital distribution, TuneCore is one of the biggest companies to go with. He was actually the one who brought this up in the newsletter. And the first thing I got to thinking about was, wow, think about Smokey Robinson. He's going to have control over all those songs again. Think about Stevie Wonder, who even though Stevie Wonder had a state-of-the-art record deal, now he's going to have complete and total control out of every last one of those songs that he wrote. The estate of Norman Whitfield, they're going to have complete control over all of those songs, all those classic Temptations and Diana Ross. Just think about it. The Beatles catalog is going to completely revert back, and they've been reusing the Beatles catalog like it's nobody's business over the last 20 years. It's going to completely revert back to the estates. So this puts us in a position where now the big question is, what does that mean for the major recording companies? Well, they're either going to have to do one of two things. They're either going to have to pay these heavy licensing fees to get these catalog releases back out because they need to make money off of them. Or they're going to have to do what they're supposed to do in the first place, and that's concentrate on marketing and promoting the new talent that is coming up. This is why I say these things are good for emerging artists. Now, let's look at this scenario. I've got this person, prime example, Smokey Robinson. Do you really think that any label out there in the present time is saying, well, you know, we need to make Smokey Robinson, we need to give him a key position within our company?
Yeah.
You would think they would say that, but based on an industry that pushes people out based on their age, not likely. However, in a year and a half, Smokey is going to have control over 50% of the Motown catalog. So
yeah,
in order for them to keep me... Go ahead.
Now, I'll say he wrote majority of the music that they got.
Exactly. So think about the licensing fee that they would have to pay out to Smokey Robinson in order. And you know, Motown is one of the most widely reissued catalogs in music. Every year there's something new with Motown now. Oh, this new box package, this is that. So now, these labels are going to say, all right, well, we can't pay this fee because it's going to kill us. Why don't we offer Smokey a large position with the company? And then that way we can be like, hey, Smokey, let's get some more of those catalog releases. I know you want to get some of those out there. This is just a tactic. It's a tactic. But what does that do? That puts the people like Smokey Robinson, the people like the Stevie Wonders, the songwriters, the people who are responsible for the music, this puts them back in control of the music industry, which has been stretched out, and it went from being run by musicians to being run by interns. So now this puts everybody back in control. So how does this benefit you emerging artists out there? Ownership, just like we said. Ownership. They need as many new songs as they can now that they're losing the old. They're losing a bulk of old. Think about how many songs were composed up to from the first recorded song all the way to 1978. Think about that, Kerris.
Yeah.
They're going to need to replenish their banks with new songs. So all you songwriters out there, all you producers out there, this is the time where they're going to have to be dealing with you more than ever because they have to replenish these catalogs. Because they just can't take some old stuff out the banks anymore. Because all that stuff is gone back. All of it's gone.
Well, would you say that will give artists the opportunity to get away from these 360 deals that they're shooting out there now?
I would like to say that. I think that that's going to put a lot more people in position that don't have their business together. That's going to put them in more position to where they're going to be in worse 360 deals. Because, like I said, because they're losing so much, they have to regain a lot, and they have to regain it quickly. So they may be quick to sign such and such to a publishing deal, such and such artists out of Hattiesburg, Mississippi, to a publishing deal or a recording deal. But it's definitely going to be multi-right. If they can negotiate a multi-right deal because they've got to make up for their loss, then they're going to do it. I don't think it's going to put the 360 deal out of the mold. I think it's going to change everything. Just the grand scheme of everything, it's just the scope of how everything is done. They've got to kowtow on Fetch a little bit. So, and that's really what it comes down to. Like I said, if you'd like to get in on this conversation, go ahead and give us a call, 718-508-9972. Now, Kev, you just actually brought up a great point in terms of what this is going to do with the estates, which is one of the questions that we ask. What does this mean for the estates of deceased artists? Now,
right.
It's all about control. If you don't control the estate, you don't control the song. Flat out. If anybody remembers the movie Why Do Fools Fall in Love, that's the movie where Lorenz Tate played as Al would say, the late, great Frankie Lyman. Now, there was controversy in that case because of the song Why Do Fools Fall in Love on who was the original composer of it. Frankie Lyman, along with, I forgot the guy's name, but it was another member of the Teenagers, were listed as the songwriters. However, the CEOs of the recording company who signed them listed himself as a songwriter too. And this went on for years and years, and it was the inspiration for the movie and court cases and everything on who owned the estate of Frankie Lyman. At the end of the day, they still had him, the CEO, listed as one of the songwriters. Now, Carmen Santiago was the other member of the group that wrote the song. Anyway, so now you have this thing where the estate of Frankie Lyman in 2013 is going to completely own his portion of the song. So is the estate of Herman Santiago. But here you have this label owner, which this was a common practice. Man, I wish we had Charlie right now. He'd break it down for you for real. But this was a very common practice for CEOs and A&Rs to list themselves as songwriters for music that they did not compose. It's still a common practice today. There have been several lawsuits against artists like Usher, Beyonce, Alicia Keys, for getting songwriter credit for a song that they didn't write. So they still get a piece of this pie. They still get a portion of it. And I think that's very interesting. And the crazy thing about it is, who's going to benefit out of this the most? The people who are going to benefit out of this the most are the songwriters like the Smokey Robinson, like the Stevie Wonders. These are going to be the guys that are going to benefit from this the most because they've had control of their songs from the get-go. Now, I think we got Al in. Al, you there?
Yeah, Dick, I had a couple people. They just wanted you to review what's going to happen again in 2013 with the copyright. So could you just state that again briefly so all the ones who just now tuning in could know what's about to happen in 2013 with the copyright law?
Okay. In the 1970s, the copyright law was revised by the U.S. government, and it granted artists and songwriters termination rights. That law stated that 35 years after 1978, the recordings and the songs owned by record labels or publishers will revert back to the artist or songwriter regardless of if the artist or songwriter was recouped, unrecouped, etc. So in layman's terms, that means 35 years after 1978, which is 2013, all of the songs that were composed from 1978 and back will revert back to the original songwriters. The labels will no longer own these songs. The labels have no right to re-release the songs, reissue the songs, remix the songs, or anything like that without the songwriter's consent, because after that, it does not belong to the labels anymore. So hopefully that got everybody like back up to speed. Now, as you can imagine, the labels, they are fighting it. They are fighting it. And one of the biggest issues is coming from the RIAA, which I spoke of earlier, the Recording Industry Association of America. Now, if you guys aren't familiar with this is the association that audits the albums put out by artists for gold and platinum certifications. They also battle on the quote-unquote rights of the recording industry. But it's a very corrupt organization. Most of you who have iMesh or LimeWire or BearShare or any one of those sharing softwares, you may be familiar with them because the RIAA is who actually decided that it's a good idea. Hey, let's sue the fans. This is the same company. Now, what they are saying is that, and I quote, "We believe that the termination right does not apply to most sound recordings. The RIAA's position is that artists never owned the recordings or songs in the first place, so how could they revert back to them? They were just employees hired by the label to record their own songs. Therefore, the labels own the recordings forever."
Hold on, repeat that.
Until they enter public domain.
Repeat that again, Nick.
We're going to say this one more time. This is by the RIAA. This is their position on termination right. "We believe that the termination right does not apply to most sound recordings. The RIAA's position is that the artist never owned the recordings or the songs in the first place, so how could they revert back to them? They were just employees hired by the label to record their own songs. Therefore, the labels own the recordings forever or until they enter public domain." So basically,
wow.
The RIAA, the people that are supposed to be fighting for the artists and the songwriters out there, are saying, "Well, hey, you were signed to a label, so you never owned the song anyway. You were just hired to record your own song."
And that is called what, Nick?
Work for hire. That is if you have signed some type of work for hire agreement. But they are basing this on the entire scheme of the recording industry. They are saying that overall, you know, unless it's specified as being work for hire, that these songs belong to the labels, because the labels are the one who finance the recording in some cases, even though a lot of recordings were recorded long before they got to the label. But because the label financed the recordings, that they own the songs.
I got a question for you. How could an artist of today protect themselves from a situation like that, even with the companies like you got BMI and ASCAP? How can they protect themselves to make sure that they own their rights, even with their own publishing, if they do go with their own publishing company?
Well, let's break down BMI, ASCAP, and CSAC. Those aren't publishing companies, they're performing rights organizations. These organizations exist for the sole purpose to track down the public performance, track your radio spins, your video spins, the public performances, and for you to get paid based on those public performances of your song. The publishing companies affiliate themselves with either BMI, CSAC, or ASCAP, and it is up to the publishing companies to distribute that money to the songwriters and producers. So what this will mean for Joe Blow in Selma, Alabama, first thing you need to do is you need to have your music copywritten. And I'm telling you right now that poor man's copyright of mailing it to yourself does not hold up in court. Unfortunately, we live in a society where they say it's our system, it's our way or the highway. So you have to go through the proper steps of copywriting your music. The second thing, and this is one thing that I was told, this is one thing that Killer Mike told me, but maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. As an artist, it's very important. Sign yourself to your own company. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I remember Charlie saying something similar.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Correct?
Yeah, he said that.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Sign yourself. The more paperwork you have, see, we think that, especially for those out there who are very self-sufficient, or somebody I'll use as an example of being self-sufficient, Dub G. Dub G writes, produces, records, and in most cases mixes, does the graphics, does the photo shoot. He's literally, he can do the entire operation from his area. But the one thing I can say about him is he has paperwork on himself as if he were signing another artist. It's the same thing. The more you protect yourself legally, the better off you are. So that way, the thing about these labels, they cannot fight a legally binding document. If everything is right on the paperwork, they have to deal with you on that business level. That is a way to protect yourself. Make sure that you are protecting yourself by making sure that your paperwork is right. I know it doesn't seem important. I know you're like, oh, man, I don't want to pay this money to get this copywritten. I don't want to pay this money to get this. But it's worth it. Because at the end of the day, what you would spend out to make sure that everything is taken care of, it doesn't compare to how much you'll lose if you just get screwed over like that. So that's the absolute best way to do it.
Hey, we do
we
have a caller, right?
Alex there?
Yeah, we got a caller. You
okay.
Want to bring the call in?
Yeah, bring it in.
Caller 662-397, you're live on the Talk of the Town. What's up?
Hey, what's going on with it, Alan?
All right, what's up? What's up, man?
Ain't nothing to it. I want to know for those who are not inclined to the business side of it, could you give some points or some hints on where we could go to get our copyright and right places on the internet to look, get these things taken care of?
There's one place for you to go in terms of copywriting. And let me correct myself real quick. By definition, the song is copywritten once you write it. Once it's in tangible form, it's copywritten. However, you go through the Library of Congress to register it. That way it's registered, it's in their system, so if there's ever any type of legal situation about who owns the song, you have a document that says, hey, per the Library of Congress of the United States of America, I own the rights to this sound recording. What you would need to do is you would need to go to www.loc.gov. That's libraryofcongress.gov, loc.gov. And in this case, you will be downloading a Form SR. That's Form SR for sound recording. We're going to put this entire process on the Middleman Facebook page, so when you get a chance, head over to the page and put that down. And go ahead and check that out.
I appreciate that.
All good. And I will also say, are you affiliated with the Performing Rights Organization, BMI, ASCAP, or CSAC?
No, not at this point.
Okay.
If you haven't done
honestly,
that, brother, you might want to do that.
There's no real preference that I would say. I've been affiliated with ASCAP since 2001.
there's no real preference. They all do great jobs. They all essentially work to do the same thing, but you need to affiliate yourself with one of them. You're going to have to establish a publishing company. That keeps you protected in terms of the money that you would make from your song being played on the radio or being played, a video being played on TV, even with commercials, internet radio, satellite radio, all of these different avenues, that this is why your publishing is so important. So I would look into affiliating with either BMI, CSAC, or ASCAP. I'll put the links up to that. When, at the end of the show, anybody out there that's listening, if you want to know how to keep yourself protected in any type of way dealing with music business, we're going to put all this on the Middleman Facebook page. So within about 10 to 15 minutes after the show is off, you'll be able to go onto the site and check it out.
Set that up. Appreciate that.
All right. Appreciate
it. Hey, you know what, though, Nick, man? As far as when it comes to ASCAP and BMI, man, you can actually request the literature from both of those companies so you can see which one would be more beneficial to you. Because I know, like, one of their pay scales is a little bit different as far as once you would receive your your checks from that particular company, which you got to have something in rotation and it got to be recognized by that station.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. BDS or media-based monitor in any sense. This is why these things are so important. Because you have to realize that as years go by, I really don't think that the labels were really thinking about 2013 coming up so quickly. So you have to think, now they're going to really be on their guard about who they do business with. So in this instance, this is the best time to get yourself together. And this is a continuing thing that we talk about on the Middleman Talk Show and on Talk of the Town with Nick Eden all the time. Ownership. Making sure that your business is right before you step to these companies or before they step to you. That's the only way you're going to get a fair shake in this. One thing I learned a long time ago, you never get how much you deserve. You get how much you negotiate. You have to learn how to negotiate. But if you don't know how much you're worth, then they know how much you're worth. They're not going to give you anything near it unless you got your business together. Now, any comments on that, Kev, Kyle?
No, I agree with everything you just said. No, he's actually still on the highway, still traveling, man. So he good.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's very informative with the information that you're putting up. I hope you guys go to our Facebook page and make sure you check that out. But, man, even with starting your own publishing company, man, you got to make sure that, you know, you stay on top of your business because somebody will stay on top of it for you. And you look around and wonder, where did my money go? And it can happen very fast.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the thing now.
Uh-huh. We're approaching 2013.
Okay.
Both the labels and the artists, they're trying to hold on, get back, or quickly acquire some rights. Like, at this point, we know the labels aren't going to go down fighting. Now, they may say, look, we're going to... They may go to a Smokey Robinson and say, look, we'll pay you a lump sum for your entire catalog. And for someone who maybe wrote a hit in the 50s or the 60s, maybe a couple of hits, and their money has dried up, they might need that.
If they still alive.
I would definitely imagine that someone in Smokey's position would be like, well, no, I think I'm going to go ahead and take control of my rights.
Right.
But the labels are vastly arguing that the artist cannot do this. This is not right. Only the labels should be able to market and distribute their records. How pompous is that? I'm just saying, dog. How pompous is that to sit up here and say that only we should have a right? And this is what you have to think about. Think about everything that they're losing and have lost. First, they lost the right to distribute records.
Mm-hmm.
iTunes took care of that. Apple, Amazon, eMusic, Grassley, they lost that right. They lost control over that. If you remember back in the day, that was your only way in. The only thing they're about to lose the songs themselves. So the only thing they really have control over is radio. Because let's just be honest, major radio is still largely controlled by labels.
Right.
It is. But they're slowly losing that. With the emergence of internet radio, satellite radio, podcast, you know, they're losing it. Things like the Middleman Talk Show, where we will debut new music by artists that may not get a fair shake on a traditional radio show.
Right.
So you got to realize these labels are fighting tooth and nail to get it.
But do you blame them?
No, I can't blame them at all, because this is the same industry that refused to conform with how the business was changing.
Mm-hmm. The internet is killing them.
The internet is killing them, and they could have honestly had control over the internet a long time ago. And let me tell you what I mean. I hate to get off subject, but this was a discussion I was having with a gentleman I worked with previously, and he brought up a great point. The music business could have had this all under control a long time ago. One, if they had done three things. The first thing, if they would have gotten into the subscription-based cloud services or music services that we have online, i.e. The Amazon Cloud, Spotify, which just came up, which is basically you pay a certain amount a month and you get unlimited, you know, downloads or unlimited listenership.
Right.
Rhapsody does that. If they would have started that instead of trying to fight the internet when it first came out, think about this, Kev. Think about if somebody would have come to you and said, look, if you give us $10.99 a month,
mm-hmm.
you can download all the albums you want.
Right.
All the albums you want for $10.99 a month. If they would have told you that in 1999,
I would have had every album out. Yes, sir.
Exactly. Exactly. They could have had control this a long time, but no, they decided to fight. The second thing that they did wrong, they went after the artists and the songwriters, who they were already screwing over. Well, we need this much from you now, because we're losing money from the internet, so we need this much from you now. We need this much of your rights. And these artists were like, well, you know what? I'm at the end of my contract anyway, and I'm seeing that some people are starting to go independent. So
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go independent. And so they lost the artist. And finally, when they were back up into a corner and they had no other choice, they attacked the fans. I know several people that have been sued by the RIAA.
Yeah, my homeboy got one of them letters in the mail, too.
How crazy is that?
Very crazy.
We're losing money, so we're going to sue the people that spend money with
us. Well, you know,
I just want everybody to know that this is the mentality that these labels are using.
But Nick, you know,
so
one thing too, man, I'm just saying, Nick, it just seems like what you were saying as far as the death of the record label, the music industry or whatnot, you know, it's like everything that you're talking about is culminating to what is what we're having right now with these labels, man, being they're not conforming, like you said, they didn't bend to what was coming, be it the copyright laws or the internet or just the way that they're doing artists now, you know, not even seeing how people are independently making money. I mean, it's like it's going to all come, I mean, but you know how all the labels are consolidating right now. There's only going to be two in a little bit anyway. But if people will realize they can make more money, and if they find a way to shut down the internet, I hope that would hurt everything. But if they don't, more people can still go independent and make more money without having to be signed to a major label. A label just equal exposure. That's basically it. You know, but the internet gives you that same exposure. You know?
Well, let's look at it like this, because you just brought up a great point. Think about the social interaction. They made a lot of money off of fan clubs, off of different things like that, keeping the artists essentially hidden. This is why they didn't like Tupac. If social networking would have been around when Tupac was alive, you know, I do not believe that he would have signed Death Row. I do not believe that he would stay within the major label system. because he had such a connection with his fans and he was so open about talking to his fans, you would have seen Tupac on Twitter. He would have been releasing albums on Twitter and Facebook. Think about what they lost with that. They lost a lot of revenue with that. And like I said, instead of just saying, okay, we're going to roll with the punches, they're saying we're going to fight it. Prime example, one thing that they're fighting now is this entire situation with the copyright laws for the U.S. and the U.K. are affecting people all over the world. They have an extradition law that they're trying to put into effect to where, let's say you have a music sharing service, but you live in Ireland. So you have a music sharing service like iMesh or BearShare or NASA or NASA or LimeWire or whatever. Because you have a .com or a .net as your surname for your website, they can extradite you to the United States and bring you up on criminal charges, even though you never committed a crime in the U.S.
Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy.
I want people to think about how hard they are fighting this tooth and nail. And I want you to realize the desperation and what lengths they will go to for the almighty dollar. So what I'm saying to all of you independent artists out there, if you know, now you know how sneaky your enemy is. We're going to call him the enemy. Now you know how sneaky your enemy is. Now you know how prepared you have to be. And don't ever be afraid to ask questions to the gentleman I called him a little earlier. Thank you. Thank you for asking questions. There are a lot of artists that you don't realize that because of pride or because they don't want to seem like, oh, I don't know anything, they won't ask questions, and they will get screwed over time and time again. See, somebody like the caller we had a little bit earlier, see, once he gets the business straight, they're not going to be able to come at him with no BS.
True that.
They're not going to be able to come at him with any type of BS. As we get to the close of the show, I really want to thank everybody for tuning in. We really appreciate you guys. And we thank you that you've been riding with the Middlemen for the last, coming about 3 years now, aren't we?
Yeah, sure.
Man, I'm getting tired of dealing with y'all. No, I'm playing.
Hey, man.
Yeah, we're
running
up on 3 years, and I'm telling you right now, we're just getting started.
Most
y'all have no idea what we got coming in the next couple months. And thank you for everybody that's been riding with Talk of the Town. We're going into our ninth month of Talk of the Town. And like I said, we're going to keep doing it as long as you guys keep tuning in on Thursday. And I got kind of twisted into doing this. You know, I don't like self-promotion at all.
I don't care. I like the record.
I don't like self-promotion at all. We're going to play a record by myself. Called Take Control, and it's pretty much in line with the theme of what we all do. Let the music take control, man. This is Middlemen Present Talk of Town with Nick Eaton. Take Control by Nick Eaton. was myself, Nick Eaton, with Take Control. You know, I don't like self-promotion like that, man. I don't know why he did that to
me. Man, the record is hot, man. I don't care what you say. I played the record. How about that?
I appreciate that. Yeah. I sure appreciate that. If you're just now tuning in, today we talked about 2013, the death of the major label. And in about 15 minutes, you'll be able to go back and download this show and listen to it. You can also download the show from last week with Carl Thomas. Very interesting conversation. I want to see what's going to happen with this challenge, this cook-off challenge between Kevin and Carl. I want to see how this comes out.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, he don't want none.
I want to see how that turns out. And don't forget to tune in this coming Sunday to the Middleman Talk Show at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Central Time. Let me say it again. Make sure you tune in. This Sunday, we're going to be talking about Blame It on Rio. What are you talking about, Blame It on Rio? What is that? Why are we blaming it on Rio? We're blaming it on Rio because of this recent explosion. When I say recent, I mean within the last 5 years, of men going down to Rio to procure sex from beautiful young ladies in financial ways. It's huge. There's a whole culture that stands because of it. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about these beautiful women. We're going to talk about the diseases that they carry when you get down there and the dangers of going. We're not trying to discourage you from going to Rio, but let's just be honest. Going down to Brazil and getting your thing on, you might want to be a little extra careful. Especially if you got a wife at home. Shouldn't be doing it anyway. But we're going to talk about all that this coming Sunday on the Middleman Talk Show. And it's going to be all four of us.
Oh, yeah.
Al, Kev, myself, Jen. Jen's probably going to call into this show in about 50
hour.
Minutes.
No, about an hour.
About an hour.
You didn't miss anything?
She don't even come by the studio no more. She just call. I don't get it. Anyway. Thank you for tuning in to the Middleman Presents Talk of the Town with Nick Eaton. Go ahead and hit him out with that outro.
Hey, before we do that, man, we got a conference call for all the artists that are in Mississippi. We're trying to build a networking type situation in Mississippi. So next Wednesday, you guys need to tune in to the Middleman Talk Show on Wednesday. We'll be posting up that time real soon. Join us on Facebook. Become a friend. So y'all make sure y'all tune in, because if you out there doing your thing in the state of Mississippi, our man Big V, we're hosting his monthly conference called the Middleman Talk Show. So make sure you tune in next Wednesday. All right? That'll be the thing to do.
All right, now. Let's do it.
The middleman shouted, Big Chris shouted. Now I ain't sure what you was tuning in to, but pay attention to the real talk. What we here for, so take a listen time out, take a minute. Shout it and learn some, put your mind to grind the world, you destined to earn some. Linda, yeah, comment on what you hear. Let's figure out that master plan to put this thing in gear. Don't matter if you hood or you corporate, don't get you got a will to do way better than you were doing. Well, then you fortunate. Take a stand, stop complaining about what you ain't got. Hating on the next man, cause he was dying to wreck shop. Every Sunday, tune in, go live, 6 p.m., blogtalkradio.com. The middle me. Hey, what's happening? The middle me. Hey, what's happening? The middle me. Hey, what's happening? Blogtalkradio.com. The middle me.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, man.
Al, I know you listening. Drive safely. Get back to the ass. Make it home safely. Make it happen. Matter of fact.
For sure.
Yeah.
Big shout out real quick.
What's that?
Big shout out to Bronx Bridge Entertainment. For those of you who don't know, it is a Bronx, New York-based R&B label. And they're getting ready to release a new album by Lil Mo called P.S. I Love Me. They're also getting ready to release an album by Bobby Brown, his first solo album in almost 20 years.
Are they your friends at that label,
wow,
if I may ask?
Doing now?
Are they your friends at that label?
I mean, acquaintances, but...
Are they friends of yours?
They're acquaintances of mine, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we need to get out of that term, friend, you know, that's...
Well, acquaintances or friends, if I say something, would I offend them? Because I'm about to go in.
Oh,
hey,
Jesus,
we need
to get out
on the show, man. Come on, Bobby Brown.
Yeah. Yeah. Before you say anything, all I'm going to say is, I want you to listen to the record. Before you say anything.
No, I ain't tripping on the record. I'm saying they bring it back. Bobby Brown and Lil Mo.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Brown, I will say it once again. Bobby Brown and Lil Mo. I ain't going to say no Mo.
Listen to the record. That's all I got to tell you. Lil Mo's new record is crazy.
Dude, it may be the hottest album of the year, but we are talking about Bobby Brown and Lil Mo.
Man, you know what? I'm leaving the studio. You know what? I'm going home. I'm going home. Take this anymore. I can't work under these conditions.
Bobby Brown and Lil Mo.
Hey, peace
no
out.
Mo.
Shout out to Bronx Bridge Entertainment, man. Y'all keep doing y'all thing.
Please do.
Yes. Yeah,
do.
Shout out
hey,
to my guys over there, Full Blown.
Go ahead, Al.
I just want to give a shout out to my guys over there, Full Blown, my boy G.
Hey. Why won't they just bring out Ralph Tresvant while they're at it?
You know, I ever noticed that Ralph was the most unsuccessful.
Jesus.
The whole group was built around him, and he ended up being the most unsuccessful one.
Matter of fact, I ain't gonna even say it. I'm finna start while my head. Y'all tune in Sunday. I'm gonna leave it alone.
Please.
Like Hagrid.